On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just for
Find
you.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Time to play the game. Time to play the game.
It may be the nighttime,
but the sports talk doesn't stop.
Sports talk radio that's live, local,
and not for the faint of heart.
Oh, you didn't know?
Sometimes angry.
Loud noises!
Telling it like it is.
You insulted him a little bit. You got a little out of order yourself.
And pretty much always right.
Don't ever argue with the big dog. Big dog is always right.
Text or call 404-741-0929 and be part of the show.
Well, we're waiting.
Live from the Kia Studios, it's time for the John Chuckery Show. Serving you up sports on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
And welcome into Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Yes, it is time for the John Chuckery Show. Hanging out with you in the Kia Studios on this Monday evening. With you for the full four. We're asking you to download the Odyssey app. You're not in the car as much. Put the Odyssey app on one of your devices today. Take your smartphone. You can use your Alexa speakers. You can use your tablet, your Texas Instruments calculator, your Betamax, your Mattel Classic Football game, whatever your device is, just download it on something to be able to catch us when you are on the go. Social media is at 929thegame on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. And as always, best way to be a part of the show, follow us on our personal Twitter pages. I am at JMCH316. That is your water cooler talking points 3 to 6 months in advance of anybody else that is out there. On the other side of the glass, producing the show, as always, Day-Day in the house at the D. Lewis for real. Well, a bunch to get into with you here tonight. Let's start with the Bravos as Shohei Ohtani is in the house tonight. Now, he's not going to pitch, so he's not pitching over these next few nights, three nights total. But he will be, I guess, in the lineup. I did not see what their lineup actually is. I got the Braves lineup here, but I don't actually see, didn't really see what their lineup is going to be. But, arguably, one of the best players in all of Major League Baseball is going to be in town here. I mean, Ronald Acuña Jr. will have something to say about all of that, but certainly one of the great players and just great spectacles in baseball, right? Like, this is one of those guys that you have to go watch and see if you get a chance to watch him in person. And what'd you say, Day-Day? They were here a couple of years ago, were they not? Weren't they here like a couple of years ago? Was it 2 years ago?
The Angels?
Yeah.
I think
was
so.
Was it you that was telling me that? Or
no,
something?
That wasn't me, but I think it was a couple of years ago.
Must have been Jarvis. Anyway. your lineup tonight for the Braves, Ronnie, Ozzie, Riley, Olsen, Darnell, Ozuna, Rosario, Arcia, and Michael Harris, and then Charlie Morton, of course, on the mound. Morton's got to get some things figured out. I mean, again, he's been up and down, and we were in a stretch where all was good, and then, you know, kind of got a little bit dicey. So let's hope Morton gets a good start in tonight. Braves did sweep over the weekend, so if you saw that, they swept the Milwaukee Brewers. Let me ask you, let's see here, the bottom of the order, did they do anything? Oh, yeah, the 7, 8, 9 hitters this weekend, okay, for the 3 days, 7, 8, 9, they were 12 for 31. That's a 387 batting average, 12 for 31. They had 4 runs scored and 6 RBI in the 3 games. So, again, we've talked about, we broke it down last week. We gave you Rosario's numbers. We gave you Arcia's numbers. We gave you Ozuna's numbers. Those guys had been in kind of a cold streak, and voila, all of a sudden, they get hot, and you start turning that lineup over, and guess what? Ronnie, Ozzy, Olsen, Riley, those guys are getting more at-bats now. And that starts with the bottom of the order. You know, it used to be in baseball past, 7, 8, 9 was if I could just get one guy to do something at the bottom of the order, right? I mean, that was where the Indians hit Tom Verizer, Jerry Dibzinski, Dwayne Kuiper, you know, guys like that, Bo Diaz, guys like that at the bottom of the order that couldn't give them, you know, couldn't earn them, you know, 7 cents in Chinese money. I mean, that was where just you would go to die. And nowadays with the Braves, and we've talked about this, that I don't think it's coincidence that as those guys were not hitting, the record wasn't all that good. You know, Arcia had a 10-game stretch there where he was not hitting, and all of a sudden they were 3-7. Ozuna was ice cold for about a 14-game stretch. They were 6-8. I'm not saying it's a direct correlation, but it's funny how when the bottom of the order all of a sudden started producing, now everything fell into motion. Now everything got into motion. And then, obviously, Ozuna was one of the heroes this weekend. He had 4 homers in the series. So, again, when you get those guys in the second half of that order that are hitting, and especially the guys at the bottom, it's just turning over and turning over and turning over that lineup. And when they get things cranked up, you're not going to beat Atlanta. You're not going to beat the Braves at that point. When they've got their 7, 8, 9 guys producing, you're not going to beat the Braves. Sorry. Just not going to happen. Now, Braves start the night where, this is kind of funny, 11.5 games up on the Florida Marlins. The Philadelphia Phillies are 12 back, and the Mets are 18 back. So the Braves are 6-4. In their last 10, Miami's 4-6, Philadelphia's 4-6, and the Mets are 5-5. You had your chance, boys. You had your shot. You had your shot to make this thing interesting and make it a race. Now it's a runaway. Now it's Secretariat with the field being broken-legged horses. Like everybody else is a broken-leg, three-legged horse, and there's Secretariat leading out in front. That's how disparate it is. So, again, bad teams, couldn't do nothing, had their opportunity. They should have closed when they could and gotten this thing down into single digits and all that kind of stuff. Now the Braves continue to roll. So we'll see what happens tonight. We'll obviously keep you up to date about all things going on with the Atlanta Braves. 10 o'clock, we will do our Braves closeout, as we should be pretty well wrapped up with the game. So we're giving you a chance to call in, give us your thoughts about the Braves, especially if you're headed home from Truist Park, and we'll take your thoughts and calls coming up at 10 o'clock. Falcons, we're in pads today. So, again, competition is the word. Competition is the word of this training camp, and it's fun watching some of these one-on-ones, right? Whether it was Troy Anderson against Bijan Robinson, Clark Phillips, and Drake London. London got his revenge today. So it's been fun to see the level of competition that it's ramping up. It's fun to see Arthur Smith a little bit loosey-goosey, right? To use a Bobakism, he's a big goose. So it's good to see that all the way around. And what are we, a week from Friday? Week from Friday,
yep,
is
from Friday.
First preseason game. Wow. Isn't that crazy?
Fast.
Yeah. I mean, we're less than 2 weeks away. Week from Friday is first preseason game. And we'll obviously have all of the action right here on 92.9 The Game. So we'll have you all covered with all things Atlanta Falcons. But, yeah, it's coming up pretty quick. It's coming up here pretty quick. So, and again, they'll wrap up camp. And we've got, you know, Morning Shaft. We got Dandy and Randy. We got Chuck House. And then Dukes and Bell, of course, are at the Hooters at the Mall of Georgia. So we've got you covered. Exclusive coverage through training camp. It will happen all of this week. And then, you know, obviously we'll get into preseason, and it will come pretty quick because, again, the preseason with only being three games now, you know, it goes by very quickly. And we'll be looking up and be like, oh, okay, we're headed toward, you know, Labor Day, you know. First, we're going to get to August. My daughter starts school tomorrow. Not sure how I feel about all that.
Yeah, same. We had our last of the meet and greets today.
Yeah, not sure how I feel about all that. So we did spend all weekend long and all daddy's money getting school supplies and this and that, and got our groceries for her lunches and all that good kind of stuff. So I'm looking at my phone, seeing when's that next deposit going to hit here in a couple few days. So, but anyway, that's neither here nor there. Did you see Max Scherzer? How about the mutts? How about the mutts? Yeah, they've abandoned ship. There's a lot of chatter that Verlander's going to be gone too, and there's been some chatter that maybe the Atlanta Braves are in the mix for Verlander.
Yep.
You want Verlander at this point?
I wouldn't mind.
Is he healthy, though? That's the thing. Yeah. Is he healthy? Remember, he missed the start of the year. Is he healthy?
Right.
I mean, Scherzer we know isn't healthy. Again, they have the Texas Rangers have Jacob DeGrom, Max Scherzer, and me. And we're all about the same likelihood to pitch a start for the Texas Rangers. Although Max Scherzer did pick up his 24 team option or club option for 2024. So he's going to be a Ranger at like, what, 40-something million dollars or whatever, you know, it was. So he will be with the Rangers for another year. But, you know, now they put her up, you know, Scherzer and DeGrom. And, you know, out of those two guys, they should get two starts, three starts, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know? Yeah. Anyway. So, but look, the Rangers are in go-for-it mode, right? They feel like they have a team that has been really good, outperformed, overachieved, and they feel like they're going for it.
Yeah.
And they're spending some money.
Yeah, they're going all in.
How about the mutts? Isn't that great? Yeah, let's sing it. F the Mets, F the Mets.
Step right up and F the Mets. Bring your kitties, bring your wife. They're gonna suck for the rest of your life.
If they lose Verlander and Scherzer, how good do you think their record's gonna be now?
Yeah,
how good's their record gonna be without those two guys? Without those two first ballot Hall of Famers. By the way, they're both first ballot Hall of Famers. Verlander, he won his 250th game. I didn't realize he had 250 wins. That's impressive in today's baseball world. He's a first ballot Hall of Famer. Good Lord. It's not even close. Scherzer's a first ballot Hall of Famer. If let me put it like this. If any person did not vote for Scherzer or Verlander as a first ballot Hall of Famer, somebody should take a folding chair and hit that person in the face. That's how I say it. So, but again, we'll see what the Braves are going to do at the deadline here. There are rumors. Will they add a starting pitcher? Wouldn't mind seeing that. Wouldn't mind seeing them add another starter. Good news on the Max Fried front. He did pitch his fourth rehab game. He got up to 79 pitches, and now it looks like he will be in Chicago for the weekend to pitch for the Braves against the Cubs. Maybe Friday night, maybe at some point this weekend, but he had his final rehab start. Double A said that he would be, you know, coming up with the club, but most likely it will be in Chicago as they take on old friend Dansby Swanson this coming weekend. We haven't played the Cubs yet this year, right? Have we played the Cubs this year at all? We haven't played them at all, have we? So, again, this should be the first time that they play against the Dansby Swanson-led Chicago Cubs. But good news on the Max Fried front that he is back, he is up, and it looks like he's, or I should say, looks like he's going to get a start over the weekend in this rotation. And not a moment too soon. Not a moment too soon. It's good to see Max back. And again, where you're talking about Scherzer going to Texas in a big trade deadline. Well, guess what? Max Fried, by and large, has been MIA for the whole year other than five starts. This is our frontline ace. This is our ace that we just get to drop into the middle of our rotation, and all of a sudden now he, you know, becomes the best left-hander in baseball again and does his thing. So good news on the Max Fried front, as looks like he'll be back up with the club come this weekend taking on the Chicago Cubs, an old friend, Dansby Swanson. So, all right, when we get back, all right, here's what we've got going on. 404-726-0929. 404-726-0929. Will the Falcons lead the league in rushing? Will they finish in the top 10 and top 20 in passing yards? Asking you two questions. 404-726-0929. Call in, give us your thoughts. Chuck Green, the Kia Studios, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the Odyssey.com app.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Don't let the holidays derail your fitness. Stay on track with Hydro. 20 minutes rowing on a Hydro targets 86% of your muscles as Olympians guide you from incredible locations worldwide. Running can't compete. That's why 90% stick with Hydro a year later. GQ named the Hydro Arc the best rower of 2025. And every Hydro comes with free shipping, a 30-day trial, and warranty. Go to Hydro.com code FIT and save up to $600 on your next Hydro. Hydro.com code FIT.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed sponsored jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed sponsored jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored jobs boost your post for quality candidates so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed sponsored jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. you'll see Progressive's direct rate. Then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Back at a Chuckery Show, hanging out in the Kia Studios on this Monday evening with you. 20 minutes from right now, we're going to talk to D. Orlando Ledbetter. Get his thoughts about the Falcons. Did he pay his fine? Anybody know if he paid his fine or not?
Not sure. I know okay. He said he was going to start a GoFundMe.
Yeah. I mean, well, look, pay the money and give it to charity, right? That's what he needs to do. So anyway, 8:20, we'll talk to John Heyman as he is our is he our Odyssey based MLB insider? Okay. All right. I don't know if he still was or not. So things change around here. So who's hosting tonight? Jason Longshore?
Oh, after you? Yes. Yeah, okay. Longshore. Right. Atlanta soccer.
So we always get confused about what's going on around here, these places. So anyway. All right, 404-726-0929. Here's the question that I'm asking. Will the Falcons lead the league in rushing? And will they finish in the top 20 in passing yards? So the Falcons finished third in the NFL last year, but they were actually 2 yards away from being second. And if you look at this squad and this roster right now, I think there's a definite possibility if Lamar Jackson is not going to run nearly as much and, you know, he's talking about being a 4,000 or 5,000-yard quarterback, staying in the pocket, not just taking off and running. If he's not a guy, because we finished right behind the Baltimore Ravens, who were second in the league, but we only were 2 yards away from him. I could definitely see the Falcons finding a way to lead the league in rushing. With Tyler Algier, with Bijan Robinson, with Cordarrelle Patterson, and then whatever other accumulation of yards you end up figuring out a way to pick up. I could definitely see that happening. Now, as far as the top 20 in passing goes, that may be a little bit tougher. Will we be second from last as far as passing yards in the league go? No. I think we'll be a little bit better than that. But I question as to how much better we're going to be. I only had them at about 2,900 yards. Unless you're telling me Taylor Heinicke is going to come in and do some relief work and throw for a whole bunch of yards, I'm not really so sure about that one. I don't know that they can finish in the top 20, especially in today's pass-happy league, right? Especially in a league today where you huck it and chuck it, duck it around as much as you humanly can and then try to hit big plays down the field with all of it. So I think the top 20 is going to be tougher. I think leading the league in rushing could be a definite possibility with all the running backs and obviously running behind our offensive line. I think that's a realistic thing that could happen for the Atlanta Falcons this year. All right, 404-726-0929. That is our phone line. Let's go out to Vincent out in Riverdale. What's going on, Vincent?
Hey, what's going on, Tucker?
Hey, buddy. How's it going, man?
Pretty decent. I pretty much think I'm very excited about Bijan Robinson. I'm excited about the whole running back room, to be honest. I'm excited to see what Cardale is going to do too. But you know what? We're going to be higher than the top 20. I just feel like we got too much weapons. I watched this and really, I just don't understand where is the low confidence coming from with Desmond Ridder. I mean, he's a winning quarterback, and he has weapons around him, extremely great talent. I just don't understand it. I do think we'll be top 20, maybe 17th, 16th. Thanks okay. for taking my call.
All right, appreciate it. Yeah, I mean, look, there is a potential for a lot of room of growth. Now, as far as the passing game goes, as long as we're good in the red zone, right? That's where I want to be. That's my whole focus is, can we be at that level in the red zone? Can we be a team that is 67% touchdown percentage in the red zone? And part of that's going to be having to pass the football, right? Teams are going to load up on the box and just try to, you know, push you backward. And again, if we got Hennessy and Dolman playing on the interior of our offensive line, when those teams line up, they're going to push us backward. And so I'm not so much worried about the yards, but I want to see growth in what this red zone offense is. 24th in Arthur's first year, 14th last year. That's good growth. But now we need to be top six, seven, maybe top six, five, six, maybe potentially, if we're going to be in that 67% touchdown percentage in the red zone. We're probably going to have to get into those kinds of numbers. But as far as the passing goes, I still just question about whether or not how much they're going to, you know, they talk about balance, right? They talk about balance all the time. They talk about being a more balanced offense. Well, I understand that, but you have to do what you do best, right? Whatever you do best, you have to stay with that formula. And our offensive line and our skill position people, that's running the football. That's where we drafted a Bijan Robinson and such, to be able to run the football, even with having a 1,000-yard rusher in our lineup. And look, maybe Robinson plays a little bit more, you know, at wide receiver than he does at traditional running back, and he ends up being a guy that, you know, is used a lot in the passing game. I don't know. But, I mean, again, we can certainly find a way to lead the league in rushing this year behind that offensive line. If McGarry takes another step forward, if Bergeron or whoever, Hennessy, can be that guy, if Dolman, you know, being a year older helps, certainly Jake Matthews and certainly Chris Lindstrom, I don't really have much question about that. But if we can continue the growth of this offensive line, there's no reason why. I mean, we were de facto the second best rushing team in the NFL. Again, we were 2 yards away from having the second most rushing yards in the league. And if Lamar Jackson's not going to be a guy that runs it nearly as often, right? I mean, that's been, you've seen all the scuttlebutt and the buzz. He wants to be a 4,000, 5,000-yard quarterback. Okay, that's fine. That you know, again, we can dominate the rushing statistics for this team. But just let me be a great red zone offense. Let me be great in the red zone. Before I worry about some of these other things and before I worry about what's going to happen, you know, this, that, and the other, let me be great in the red zone, whether it's running or throwing or what have you. Now, remember, the Falcons finished second to last in the NFL in passing yards, second to last in the NFL. So there is what can you say, Day-Day? There's only one spot to go besides down.
You can only go up from there.
Right. I mean, basically, we can only get better at throwing the football or accumulating more yards. And I certainly think that Desmond Ridder will be accurate enough, more accurate than what Marcus Mariota was, where at times you just didn't know where it was going, right? I mean, you didn't have any idea of where the football was going to end up. So you would think that, you know, with him being a more accurate quarterback, more mobile quarterback, we have the potential to be a better passing offense than what we were last year when, frankly, we looked anemic at times, right? Frankly, we looked like a passing offense at times last year that felt like we had never thrown the forward pass, right? I mean, that's how bad it was for the Falcons at some points during the season. It looked like we had never thrown a forward pass with Marcus Mariota at quarterback. It's a bad spot to be in when you're talking about a league that tosses it around a whole bunch of times, and you're going to have, you know, you're going to have times when you're going to be third and long and this, that, and the other, and you feel like you have no shot whatsoever. You feel like you don't have any chance to complete a pass. That's a sinking feeling when you feel that way with your offense. So just by attrition alone, the Falcons should be better at this. They should be a better pass offense, and for no other reason than, frankly, they can't be much worse. But the lead in the league in rushing, I think, is interesting because I think that's definitely something that could happen. I definitely think that with Bijan Robinson, Tyler Algier, Cordarrelle Patterson, you know, whatever, however, you know, you pick up some other yards, you know, wide receivers on jet sweeps and different things like that. But I certainly think that we, with that three-headed monster, we could lead the league in rushing. And it's not even that everybody has to. It's not even everybody that you, or I should say, you have one guy that has to carry the load, right? That has to bear the burden, you know, of everything. We've got multiple guys that can carry the load. We've got multiple guys that have different skill sets and things. And, you know, again, Robinson can be a home run hitter. Algier, maybe not so much, but he's a good break the tackles kind of guy, right? I think Algier finished second in the league or something like that. I mean, he averaged 3.6 yards after contact. 3.6 yards per play after contract. That's a really solid number. It's a really good number when you're picking up almost 4 yards per carry after contact. So I definitely think the rushing title is doable for this team. And you wonder how much they're going to ask Desmond Ridder to actually throw the football. How much are they going to actually ask him to put that burden on him? Again, maybe in the red zone, maybe that's where we see a little bit more opening up because you can't afford to get stale down there, especially when you got to get touchdowns, right? Especially when you have to score touchdowns. So, again, you know, it's a situation where I think the rushing title is within reach, and I think it's going to be harder to finish in the top 20 in passing yards, whereas we finished second to last year, which was not good. Not in a word, not good. Yeah, not so good for them. So, and again, Bijan Robinson has been wowing. We'll talk about Arthur Smith's reaction to Bijan Robinson in the Falcons flyover, but certainly Bijan Robinson, a little bit of do it everything, you know, do everything kind of running back. And again, maybe not even a traditional running back, but he's going to have a big hand in the success of this offense. He's going to have a big hand in the ability to run, catch, do a little bit of everything. And remember what we heard from Arthur Smith, positionless football, right? That's what we play. We play positionless football. Not everybody's cut and, you know, dried and defined into a specific role. Positionless football. You're running the football at times. You're catching passes. You're returning kicks. Whatever it is, it's positionless football. You can call it whatever you want, but they want to be an offense that is dynamic enough that run, pass, whatever. I mean, we can certainly accomplish all that. So we'll see what happens. All right, when we get back, it will be time for D. Orlando Ledbetter. We'll get his thoughts about training camp. Chuck me in the Kia Studios, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, and the Odyssey.com app. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, back at a Chuckery Show, hanging out in the Kia Studios on this Monday evening with you. 404-726-0929. That is the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line to be a part of the show. Well, another day of practice in the books for the Atlanta Falcons. They did have pads on today. I don't think there was a whole lot of walloping going on, but let's check in with our buddy, D. Orlando Ledbetter. He, of course, is the Falcons beat writer for the Atlanta Journal Constitution. AJC.com is where you can check out all of his work, and he is on Twitter at D. Orlando AJC. D. Led, as always, buddy, appreciate a few minutes on the show. Thank you for joining us.
Sure, no problem, John. Thanks for having me.
Do you need 10 or 20 bucks to pay the fine? I mean, can I float you, you know, a couple of bucks out of my pocket to help pay for the fine that you got?
Yeah, well, I was considering a GoFundMe page, but I think we're in good shape at Cox, and I think we're going to be fine on paying the fine. We don't have to start the GoFundMe page.
Okay, that's good. That's good. What do we know about Matt Hennessy? Is Matthew Bergeron getting the looks at starting guard for right now with Hennessy out? Like, what's been the prognosis, you know, here from over the weekend with all of that?
Yeah, they initially liked the MRI, and then you kind of alluded to a second opinion, and that it's a reoccurring injury. So so he's been all over the place last 2 days, saying it's day-to-day. The last injury last year was a left knee injury. So now that it's reoccurring, that's problematic because that means you're probably headed to surgery. So we'll see how it goes. And Bergeron, they're going full steam ahead with him right now as the first team left guard.
So would it make sense, and I know these guys don't grow on trees, there's not a whole lot of them, but would it make sense to try to take some of that available cap space? And now that things are kind of shaking out a little bit, we had the Goldman retiring and they brought Ellis in. Would it make sense to go out and get themselves a security blanket at left guard and find some veteran to help, you know, again, especially if Bergeron can't really make it?
Yeah, no doubt. I think they have one on the staff already and on the roster already, and Kyle Hinton. You know, you got to figure that there's going to be some action near the cut down dates that's going to maybe release another veteran that, you know, you could pick up that way. And then also, yeah, you got the cap space, and maybe somebody gets into a situation where they're, or out of favor at some place, and then you can use it on that person. We've seen that before here in Atlanta when they picked up Andy Levitre in the last week right before the season started. So you got some options. You don't have to overreact this early in camp. But if you go down to Miami and he gets his head kicked in the joint practice, then you need to make a move.
D. Orlando Ledbetter joining me here on the WaitFor.com Hotline, Falcons beat writer for the Atlanta Journal Constitution. Has kind of the theme of this camp been competition? You know, is that, and again, I know that's usually the theme of most camps and stuff, but obviously it's been a lot of one-on-one. We're seeing good footage of the ones-on-one. Obviously there's plenty of trash talking, you know, in this. I mean, do you get a sense that it's a different vibe from, you know, the last couple of years of this training camp?
Yeah, no doubt. It's better one-on-ones, John. You got better talent across the board. You know, we had, you know, people here that have been with their sixth, seventh team. And, you know, the guys that played just a year. You know, I'm talking about Eric Harris, Stephen Means, Brandon Copeland. You know, good guys. But, you know, they were NFL fringe players that you had to start and count on. Now you got, you know, Jeff Okuda, former number three overall pick, you know, trying to revive his career. You know, you can see the athleticism. You know, he suffered from injuries and, quite frankly, poor. Possibly the coaching in Detroit was deficient. So we'll see if the coaching staff here can help some of these players along.
So do we have any kind of sense about who is leading the way as far as punt returner goes? Now that obviously Avery Williams out for the year, we know Cordarrelle Patterson is going to factor into the kickoffs, but who are they most looking at right now as far as returning punts goes?
Yeah, it's a group of five back there every day. Penny Hart, D. Alford, Bijan, Zay, Malone, and I'm probably missing the fifth guy. But to me, the Mike Hughes is the only one with NFL experience at kickoff and punt return. D. Alford looks pretty good. He catches the ball and gets upfield. He's not scared. He's tough. Penny Hart returns some kicks at Georgia State, but not in the NFL. And I don't know why they got Bijan back there other than just to have teams thinking about it. So Mike Hughes would be your favorite going into this. And then D. Alford has looked pretty good, you know, running on pretty much air and, you know, being attacked today for the first time where they, you know, were going after the returners. So that's where I have that thing handicapped right now. We'll keep an eye on it here the rest of the way in training camp.
So, you know, again, we've been talking about left guard, whether it's Bergeron and Hennessy hurt and all this, that, and the other, but has Drew Dahlman looked better in camp? I mean, has he looked better? Because, again, you know, we can talk about the left guard all we want, but if the left guard isn't so good and the center isn't going to be so good, then we're going to have some trouble when those guys, you know, are linked arm in arm, again, you know, side by side with one another. How much has Dahlman looked better in this camp than last year?
Yeah, John, he's looked much better. But, you know, it's a caveat. They haven't had on any pads. And then today they had on pads, and I was watching him with his double teams with Lindstrom. And, you know, he doesn't have to do much there. I did not see him and Bergeron combined on some double-team blocks. But, you know, that's what he's going to have to do. And then with some nose tackles that they're playing, they'll play that run the 3-4. He's got to handle those guys technically. He's a technician. He's never going to blow anybody 5 yards down the field. But Coach said he looked comfortable and was doing a much better job this year, second year on the job. And so we got to take his word at it until we see him up against some stiff competition and real football activities.
D-Led joining us here on the WaitFor.com hotline, Falcons beat reporter for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. How, you know, again, I was talking with Mike Rothstein the other night about this. Just, you know, again, I know the secondary is better because everybody's a year older and you've got better personnel out there. But do you see a pretty cohesive group in that secondary? I mean, are you seeing the corners and safeties kind of all working with one another? What's been your observation about the secondary as a whole so far in these few days of camp?
Yeah, it's been vanilla, John. They've been in the 4-2-5 nickel most of the time. And, you know, with the nickel rotating, you know, using guys at different spots. So they're not really doing a lot of coverages that they will be, you know, that's when you see stuff break down. You start changing up, mixing zone and man and so forth. They're just basically running their vanilla exhibition season stuff while we're out there. And did talk to Jesse Bates today, and he said, hey, I was like, hey, how's it coming along? He's like, hey, we're committed to this slow, long process of, you know, being able to look at each other and just, you know, communicate the defenses and so forth. And, you know, I kind of got the old, you know, it's going to take the process thing to get it all there. So it's not far down the road. You got too many variables back there. Him and Richie Grant are getting along. Jalen's kind of the odd man out back there. And, you know, they're trying to save Jeff Okuda's career because if you don't, you got another problem there over at right cornerback.
So we've gotten some paralysis by analysis with Desmond Ridder where people have been all over the board and concerned and this and that and the other. And, again, it's kind of ridiculous. But how's Taylor Heinicke looked, you know, at quarterback? How's he performed so far in camp thus far?
Yeah, well, he's second. You know, if you're getting a scrutiny level, I'm not looking at him that much, really, because he doesn't matter here if the other guys are starting quarterback. So he's a little high on some balls. He's a pro quarterback. You know, I don't like when they run. And I've seen both of them pull the ball down in practice. So it's not been a good, nothing to write home about. But I usually, there's usually not anything to write home about in the first week of practice from the quarterback perspective. It takes a while to get your timing down with your receivers. You're just running a couple plays. So, you know, you're just getting in and out of the huddle and running sweep left, sweep right, and a couple pass routes. And they've been just fine doing that. But I want to see what they do in Miami against some real live competition and see how much they play them in the exhibition season. I think they're going to have to play Ridder a little bit more than you normally would your first year, your first quarterback.
So is there a guy that has stood out to you that maybe is a little bit under the radar? I'm not talking about, you know, Desmond Ridder or Bijan Robinson level kind of guys, but is there a guy or two that you've kind of had your eye on that you think that maybe this guy could make the team, maybe this guy can contribute? Is there one of those kinds of guys that has kind of stood out for you so far?
Yeah, I like I was watching the receivers because they, there's some opportunity there to make the team. And the kid Keylon Harris from Oklahoma Baptist, I was watching him and Zay Malone because somebody's going to take that last spot and help out on special teams. It could be Darby, but the kid from Oklahoma Baptist has been pretty impressive thus far. I see Malone, dropping balls and, and so forth and so on, and not looking, you know, pro level type material. But this Harris kid is one to keep a eye on, and I'm kind of tracking him so far here early in the season. We're going to see him play a lot. Carlos Washington, the running back. You always got to have an extra running back in your back pocket, and want to see how Carlos does. He started his career at New Hampshire, went down to Southeast Louisiana, had a year down there. We're going to see a lot of him in the exhibition season. So, you know, I'm looking at the back 20 to see if who's going to break through to the roster, and those are a couple that we have so far.
So, D-Led, I'm talking to my buddy Jarvis Davis here the other day, and he was telling me about how much, you know, when he's watched D'Angelo Malone this offseason, that, you know, he's a little bit lighter in the dumper. I mean, he's lost some weight and trimmed down a little bit, whatever, but – you know, is he a guy that can, I mean, legitimately come off the edge? I mean, what's going to be his role? Like, what do you think D'Angelo Malone can have his role be for this team?
Yeah, he's I've been charting today, and he's backing up Lorenzo Carter at right defensive end, which he's too light for, and both of them are too light. But they're going with this 4-3 hybrid look that'll probably slide them into – outside linebacker role. They want people to treat him as defensive ends, but they're going to probably play outside linebacker. Lorenzo said he's not dropping anymore. He's playing traditional defensive end. And if D'Angelo's backing him up there, that's he's way too light for that. But they haven't tried to stand him up either at, you know, the weak side or strong side or middle linebacker. So that's where D'Angelo is right now. And we're going to learn a lot more about this defense as they move down the road. But that's where I see him at now. He did come off the edge. He was light. That's why he was at Western Kentucky. But he's a fierce football player, and he's going to get a shot here to make it in the league, it looks like.
You know, and I know this is not fair when I say this, but we know that Troy Anderson is a very good athlete, and he's a very quick guy and things like that. But do you kind of see him getting a grasp of the game? I mean, he – at times was lost on the field. And, you know, again, you get these one-on-ones, and obviously the advantage is all on the offensive side of things. But have you seen Troy Anderson start to kind of look like he's catching on more, or doesn't maybe seem, you know, as lost at times as what he was on the field last year?
Yeah, I am seeing that. The big thing for Troy is to, you know, just play as fast as he can. If he gets beat, he gets beat. He makes it up and be in position. And, you know, in these practices, you know, they're just – when they run the ball, they just go up and tap the guy and, you know, move on. And he's not late or anything like that. He's not getting confused when he misdirections on any running plays and where he's supposed to be in the alignment. And so, you know, the more reps he gets, the more instinctual he will get as a linebacker. And we're just going to watch this kid grow on the field. And, you know, for the Falcons' sake, they hope he probably doesn't, you know, have too many blown assignments while he's trying to develop into one of the, you know, what they think is starting linebacker.
Last question for you, D-Led. You know, Arthur Smith, I mean, now we're into year three. Now he's got a roster with some guys on it. Now they were able to spend some money and build some things. And, you know, again, whether it's kind of having fun with you and the fine and all.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Don't let the holidays derail your fitness. Stay on track with Hydro. 20 minutes rowing on a Hydro targets 86% of your muscles, as Olympians guide you from incredible locations worldwide. Running can't compete. That's why 90% stick with Hydro a year later. GQ named the Hydro Arc the best rower of 2025. And every Hydro comes with free shipping, a 30-day trial, and warranty. Go to Hydro.com code FIT and save up to $600 on your next Hydro. Hydro.com code FIT.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed sponsored jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed sponsored jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored jobs boost your post for quality candidates so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed sponsored jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, back at a Chuckery Show, hanging out in the Kia Studios on this Monday evening with you. 404-726-0929. That is the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line to be a part of the show. Well, another day of practice in the books for the Atlanta Falcons. They did have pads on today. I don't think there was a whole lot of walloping going on, but let's check in with our buddy, D. Orlando Ledbetter. He, of course, is the Falcons beat writer for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. AJC.com is where you can check out all of his work, and he is on Twitter, at D. Orlando AJC. D. Led, as always, buddy, appreciate a few minutes on the show. Thank you for joining us.
Sure, no problem, John. Thanks for having me.
Do you need 10 or 20 bucks to pay the fine? I mean, can I float you, you know, a couple of bucks out of my pocket to help pay for the fine that you got?
Yeah, well, I was considering a GoFundMe page, but I think we're in good shape at Cox, and I think we're going to be fine on the on paying the fine. We don't have to start the GoFundMe page.
Okay, that's good. That's good. What do we know about Matt Hennessy? Is Matthew Bergeron getting the looks at starting guard for right now with Hennessy out? Like, what's been the prognosis, you know, here from over the weekend with all of that?
Yeah, they initially liked the MRI, and then you kind of alluded to a second opinion and that it's a reoccurring injury. So so he's been all over the place last 2 days, saying it's day-to-day. The last injury last year was a left knee injury. So now that it's reoccurring, that's problematic because that means you're probably headed to surgery. So we'll see how it goes. And Bergeron, they're going full steam ahead with him right now as the first team left guard.
So would it make sense, and I know these guys don't grow on trees, there's not a whole lot of them, but would it make sense to try to take some of that available cap space? And now that things are kind of shaking out a little bit, we had the Goldman retiring and they brought Ellis in. Would it make sense to go out and get themselves a security blanket at left guard and find some veteran to help, you know, again, especially if Bergeron can't really make it?
Yeah, no doubt. I think they have one on the staff already and on the roster already, and Kyle Hinton. You know, you got to figure that there's going to be some action near the cutdown dates that's going to maybe release another veteran that, you know, you could pick up that way. And then also, yeah, you got the cap space, and maybe somebody gets into a situation where they're, or out of favor at some place, and then you can use it on that person. We've seen that before here in Atlanta when they picked up Andy Levitre in the last week right before the season started. So you got some options. You don't have to overreact this early in camp. But if you go down to Miami and he gets his head kicked in the joint practice, then you need to make a move.
D. Orlando Ledbetter joining me here on the WaitForIt.com hotline, Falcons beat writer for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. Has kind of the theme of this camp been competition? Is that – and again, I know that's usually the theme of most camps and stuff, but obviously it's been a lot of one-on-one. We're seeing good footage of the ones-on-one. Obviously, there's plenty of trash talking, in this. I mean, do you get a sense that it's a different vibe from, the last couple of years of this training camp?
Yeah, no doubt. It's better one-on-ones, John. You got better talent across the board. We had, people here that had been with their sixth, seventh team. And, the guys that played just a year, I'm talking about Eric Harris, Stephen Means, Brandon Copeland, good guys, but, they were NFL fringe players that you had to start and count on. Now you got, Jeff Okuda, former number three overall pick, trying to revive his career. You can see the athleticism. He suffered from injuries and, quite frankly, poor. Possibly the coaching in Detroit was deficient. So we'll see if the coaching staff here can help some of these players along.
So do we have any kind of sense about who is leading the way as far as punt returner goes? Now that, obviously, Avery Williams out for the year, we know Cordarrelle Patterson is going to factor into the kickoffs, but – who are they most looking at right now as far as returning punts goes?
Yeah, it's a group of five back there every day. Penny Hart, D. Alford, Bijan, Zay, Malone, and I'm probably missing the fifth guy. But to me, Mike Hughes is the only one with NFL experience at kickoff and punt return. D. Alford looks pretty good. He catches the ball and gets upfield. He's not scared. He's tough. Penny Hart returns some kicks at Georgia State, but not in the NFL. And I don't know why they got Bijan back there other than just to have teams thinking about it. So Mike Hughes would be your favorite going into this. And then D. Alford has looked pretty good, running on pretty much air and, being attacked today for the first time where they, were going after the returners. So that's where I have that thing handicapped right now. We'll keep an eye on it here the rest of the way in training camp.
So, again, we've been talking about left guard, whether it's Bergeron and Hennessy hurt and all this, that, and the other, but has Drew Dahlman looked better in camp? I mean, has he looked better? Because, again, we can talk about the left guard all we want, but if the left guard isn't so good and the center isn't going to be so good, then we're going to have some trouble when those guys, are linked arm in arm, side by side with one another. How much has Dahlman looked better in this camp than last year?
Yeah, John, he's looked much better. But, it's a caveat. They haven't had on any pads. And then today they had on pads, and I was watching him with his double teams with Lindstrom. And, he doesn't have to do much there. I did not see him and Bergeron combined on some double team blocks. But, that's what he's going to have to do. And then with some nose tackles that they're playing, they'll play that run the 3-4. He's got to handle those guys technically. He's a technician. He's never going to blow anybody 5 yards down the field. But coach said he looked comfortable and was doing a much better job this year, second year on the job. And so we got to take his word at it until we see him up against some stiff competition and real football activities.
D. Led joining us here on the WaitForIt.com hotline, Falcons beat reporter for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. I was talking with Mike Rothstein the other night about this. Just, I know the secondary is better because everybody's a year older and you've got better personnel out there. But Do you see a pretty cohesive group in that secondary? I mean, are you seeing the corners and safeties kind of all working with one another? What's been your observation about the secondary as a whole so far in these few days of camp?
Yeah, it's been vanilla, John. They've been in the 4-2-5 nickel most of the time. And, you know, with the nickel rotating, you know, using guys at different spots. So they're not really doing a lot of coverages that they will be, you know, that's when you see stuff break down. You start changing up, mixing zone and man and so forth. They're just basically running their vanilla exhibition season stuff while we're out there. And did talk to Jesse Bates today, and he said, hey, I was like, hey, how's it coming along? He's like, hey, we're committed to this slow, long process of, you know, being able to look at each other and just, you know, communicate the defenses and so forth. And, you know, I kind of got the old, you know, it's going to take the process thing to get it all there. So it's not far down the road. You got too many variables back there. Him and Richie Grant are getting along. Jalen's kind of the odd man out back there. And, you know, they're trying to save Jeff Okuda's career because if you don't, you got another problem there over at right cornerback.
So we've gotten some paralysis by analysis with Desmond Ridder where people have been all over the board and concerned and this and that and the other. And again, it's kind of ridiculous, but how's Taylor Heinicke looked at, you know, at quarterback? How's he performed so far in camp thus far?
Yeah, well, he's second, you know, if you're, you know, you're getting a scrutiny level, I'm not looking at him that much, really, because he doesn't matter here if the other guy's a starting quarterback. So he's a little high on some balls. He, you know, he's a pro quarterback. You know, I don't like when they run, and I've seen both of them pull the ball down in practice. So it's not been a good, you know, nothing to write home about. But I usually, there's usually not anything to write home about in the first week of practice from the quarterback perspective. It takes a while to get your timing down with your receivers. You're just running a couple plays. So, you know, you're just getting in and out of the huddle and running sweep left, sweep right, and a couple pass routes. And they've been just fine doing that. But I want to see what they do in Miami against some real live competition and see how much they play them in the exhibition season. I think they're going to have to play Ridder a little bit more than you normally would your first year, your first quarterback.
So is there a guy that has stood out to you that maybe is a little bit under the radar? I'm not talking about, you know, Desmond Ridder or Bijan Robinson level kind of guys, but is there a guy or two that you've kind of had your eye on that you think that maybe this guy could make the team. Maybe this guy can contribute. Is there one of those kinds of guys that has kind of stood out for you so far?
Yeah, I liked. I was watching the receivers because they, you know, there's some opportunity there to make the team. And the kid Keelon Harris from Oklahoma Baptist. I was watching him and Zay Malone because somebody's going to take that last spot and help out on special teams. And could be Darby, but the kid from Oklahoma Baptist has been pretty impressive thus far. I see Malone, you know, dropping balls and, you know, and so forth and so on and not looking, you know, pro-level type material. But this Harris kid is one to keep an eye on, and I'm kind of tracking him so far here early in the season. We're going to see him play a lot. Carlos Washington, the running back. You always got to have an extra running back in your back pocket. And want to see how Carlos does. He started his career at New Hampshire, went down to Southeast Louisiana, had a year down there, and we're going to see a lot of him in the exhibition season. So, you know, I'm looking at the back 20 to see if who's going to break through to the roster, and those are a couple that we have so far.
So, D-Led, I'm talking to my buddy Jarvis Davis here the other day, and he was telling me about how much, you know, when he's watched D'Angelo Malone this offseason, that, you know, he's a little bit lighter in the dumper. I mean, he's lost some weight and trimmed down a little bit, whatever. But, you know, is he a guy that can, I mean, legitimately come off the edge? I mean, what's going to be his role? Like, what do you think D'Angelo Malone can have his role be for this team?
Yeah, he's I've been charting today, and he's backing up Lorenzo Carter at right defensive end, which he's too light for, and both of them are too light, but they're going with this 4-3 hybrid look that'll probably slide them into outside linebacker role. They want people to treat him as defensive ends, but they're going to probably play outside linebacker. Lorenzo said he's not dropping anymore. He's playing traditional defensive end. And if D'Angelo's backing him up there, that's the easy way to like for that. But they haven't tried to stand him up either at the weak side or strong side or middle linebacker. So that's where D'Angelo is right now, and we're going to learn a lot more about this defense as they move down the road. But that's where I see him at now. He did come off the edge. He was light. That's why he was at Western Kentucky. But he's a fierce football player, and going to get a shot here to make it in the league, it looks like.
You know, and I know this is not fair when I say this, but we know that Troy Anderson is a very good athlete and he's a very quick guy and things like that. But do you kind of see him getting a grasp of the game? I mean, he at times was lost on the field. And, you know, again, you get these one-on-ones, and obviously the advantage is all on the offensive side of things. But have you seen Troy Anderson start to kind of look like he's catching on more, or doesn't maybe seem, you know, as lost at times as what he was on the field last year?
Yeah, I am seeing that. The big thing for Troy is to just play as fast as he can. If he gets beat, he gets beat. He makes it up and be in position. And you know, in these practices, you know, they're just when they run the ball, they just go up and tap the guy and, you know, move on. He's not late or anything like that. He's not getting confused when he misdirection on any running plays and where he's supposed to be in the alignment. And so, you know, the more reps he gets, the more instinctual he will get as a linebacker. And we're just going to watch this kid grow on the field. And, you know, for the Falcons' sake, they hope he probably doesn't, you know, have too many blown assignments while he's trying to develop into one of the, you know, what they think is starting linebacker.
Last question for you, D-Led. Arthur Smith, I mean, now we're into year three. Now he's got a roster with some guys on it. Now they were able to spend some money and build some things. And, you know, again, whether it's kind of having fun with you and the fine and all that, whether it's, you know, wearing the mustache and, you know, all these kind of things. Like, do you get a sense that Arthur Smith is a lot more loosey-goosey, you know, this year? Does he feel like he's in a better position now that he's actually coaching some NFL talent? Like, what's been his kind of mode and tenor of his attitude and things like that as far as in this camp so far?
Yeah, he's having fun with it, and that's fun. And it could be a long grind. It's not 2-a-days or anything like that. But, yeah, he's having fun with it. But I'm studying him today during the one of the offensive periods. He's checking down everything. Writing stuff with his pencil after every play, you know, so he know what he has to fix and correct as a play caller. So he's getting ready. He's very into it. And the fact that, he's the head coach, he gets to move around a lot, but he's really involved in his hands. His fingerprints are all over the offense and what they're trying to do and run the ball and set up the pass. So, he's really into it. He's having fun with it, though. So I think he is more comfortable in his role as the head coach and going to try to enjoy the ride as best he can.
At D Orlando AJC, D Led is the beat writer for the Atlanta Falcons for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. AJC.com is where you can check out all of his work, and he joined me here on the WadeFord.com hotline. D Led is appreciated as always. Stay cool, stay hydrated, stay out of the sun, and have fun at camp over these next few weeks.
Sure, no problem, John. We'll try to do that and take care. Thanks for having me on tonight.
You got it. As always, when we get back from the top of the hour, it will be time for the Falcons flyover. We'll hear from Clark Phillips. We'll hear from Jeff Okuda. We'll hear from Matthew Bergeron. Plus, a couple of other things I want to get into as well. Chuck Green, the Kia Studios, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, Odyssey.com app.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help. You save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're going to find
it. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed.
Mm.
Pricing's precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you.
Ooh.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.